armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have any
to
idea?
The pump really, this
you
is what
have
you're doing?
Any
this is what
idea?
You're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. We've got sports overload this weekend. Holy cow.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
With a cool one in his head.
Yeah, the armchair.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I am doing pretty damn good. We got a big weekend in not just Major League Baseball, which obviously Atlanta took care of business last night and beat the Phillies in the first game. One of the two games that I was most concerned with. Now, you're obviously always concerned about all of them, but when you look at the matchups, and we're going to get into the matchups for all three games left for this weekend, that coming up in Braves Country Report here in a second. But I do want to mention a couple of things. At the top of the hour, we're bringing something special to you. It's going to be Joey and Tones, and they are going to bring you the Wrestling Report. You're going to hear them call it the Wrestling Report. I'm going to call it the Wrestling Report, as a big weekend for WWE Wrestling, and they're going to bring that to you, and they're going to dive into it for the entire second hour. So for you wrestling fans, and you, if you tuned in because you saw it on the header here on Braves Country Show, that is coming up at the top of the hour. Now, we're going to get into Braves baseball here in a second, but I wanted to touch on a few things. We got so much junk going on in the world of sports, and not to mention it's Memorial Day weekend. Everyone's going to be grilling out by the pool or the lake or wherever the heck you can get away to. I'm going to be in my backyard with the pool action going on. But look, you've got a full weekend of Major League Baseball. In fact, Chicago and Cincinnati are already at it. It's 3-0 Cincinnati in the third inning as they're playing a day game in Chicago. So you got to love that on a Memorial Day weekend. Earlier today, they started it early with the women's college softball super regionals this weekend. Stanford beat Duke. Now, that was number 9 versus number 8. Stanford beat Duke. That series is being played in Durham. I have not watched Stanford play this year. I do know Duke has got a very good team. But them being in the ACC, I've watched them quite a bit. I watch a lot of women's college softball throughout the season. I primarily catch ACC and SEC in that order, but I do try to catch the top-ranked teams, but I've not seen Stanford this year. So they're up 1-0. Right now, Oklahoma leads Clemson. Now, Oklahoma is one of the favorites. Oklahoma, in fact, is the number one team in the country right now. And, of course, with the tournament always being played in Oklahoma, they've got a decided advantage, as does Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State last night won their first game. And so they're up 1-0 over Oregon. They'll be back at it tonight at 6 o'clock. Now, there are six, count them, six. I don't even know how to word that. It's not a quadruple header. And it's not a quintuple. It's a six-header. I don't even know how to word that. There's six games going back to back to back to back to back to back to back, to back all the way to midnight tonight on ESPN2. Women's college softball. Now, you do have a couple of games on ESPN as well. And one of the teams on ESPN tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, is going to be Florida State, who has a 1-0 lead on Georgia, the Lady Bulldogs. All these series are being played in one spot, and they're best 2 out of 3 for folks who don't follow this, just like the way the men's are set up. So that's going to be tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, the mothership, and Florida State needs one win to get to the World Series. And like I said, that begins tonight at 8 o'clock. Now, all the other games, if you're looking for ESPN, or if you're looking for women's college softball, it's all on ESPN2 except for that game on the mothership. And then at 10 o'clock, Louisiana, Washington, number 7 in the country. That game is on the mothership. So it's a doubleheader on ESPN of Florida State, Georgia, and then the Louisiana, Washington series. And then the rest of the games, all other six games today are on ESPN2. So you just flip it over to ESPN2, get you a cold one, and get your weekend started off right. Tennessee plays at 4 o'clock Eastern, number 4 versus number 13 Texas, the battle of the real UT. Oklahoma leads Clemson right now 2-0. That game is in the fourth. And then Alabama is at 8 o'clock on the deuce. They're the number 5 team versus the number 12 Northwestern. And then you've got, what do you have, 10 o'clock Eastern tonight, Utah and San Diego State. And that is on the deuce, 10 Eastern. Utah is number 15 in the country. I feel like I left one out. No, I guess that's it. So what you have going on right now in the Super Regionals, one team from each of these weekends, from each of these Super Regional, one winner, best 2 out of 3, goes to the Women's College World Series, which begins, I think it's June 1st. So it's early next week. I want to say Wednesday, Thursday, so somewhere in that neighborhood. But what you have right now, the best 2 out of 3, Stanford leads their series 1-0. They need one win over Duke. Florida State needs one win over Georgia. Conversely, Georgia needs to beat Florida State twice to punch their ticket. And what was the other one? The Oklahoma State series. Oklahoma State, number 6 in the country. They beat Oregon. They need one win against Oregon. Now, Oklahoma State has a very big advantage because the Women's College World Series is always in their backyard. And so there you have that, and that's what's going on. The men's college baseball, all the conference tournaments are going on right now. Kind of too much to really keep up with all that. I mean, it really is a lot. When it gets over to the regionals, we'll start covering that. We'll start checking the scores for you and whatnot. But you've got the ACC tournament. You've got the SEC tournament going on, and there's just a wall to wall. If you're a big college baseball fan, just get on the plus. Wall to wall men's college baseball all weekend long. And you had, let me see where we're at. I clicked on the wrong link. That's going to bring me every single game known to man. But anyways, right now where we are at in the college baseball world is game after. In fact, Duke and Miami are playing right now. Miami's ranked number 11 in the country. Miami leads Duke. No, I'm sorry. Duke has tied it up. It's 1-1. And that game is in the, I think, heading to the second inning. But you've got wall-to-wall baseball going on. Earlier today, Clemson beat Boston College. See if there's any other. I think all the SEC action's tonight. Yes. South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Sorry. Alabama and Vanderbilt, they go on at 7:30. And that's going to be on the SEC Network. So a lot of these games are going to be on SEC Network, ACC Network, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're looking for college sports action, it is absolutely jam-packed this weekend with the conference tournaments in men's baseball and the super regionals in women's college softball. And if you have not watched women's college softball and you're a baseball fan, I would encourage you to watch it. It's entertaining. It really is. It's much better than it used to be. I remember 20 years ago sitting in restaurants working with friends of mine, and we would try to turn it on, and it would just bore us to tears. First of all, the players have gotten much better. But also, along with that has come the offense. I can remember watching games, I'm telling you, just as early as 15 to 20 years ago. That really isn't that much of a difference, but obviously it's an entire generation. And you would feel like a game was over if someone got a 1-0, 2-0 lead. You're like, oh my God, it's over. It was like watching a soccer match. You're like, eh, well, we had a good run. And now, routinely, now, yeah, you had the perfect game the other day when Florida State knocked out South Carolina to get to the Super Regionals. And what a game that was by Catherine Sandercock. But that's not normally in today's women's college softball, you're getting a handful of runs on each side. And it's made the sport so much better. Plus, one of the things I really like about it is that along with more power coming, they've also added more speed. And so you're seeing a lot of hit and runs, all that kind of stuff. So if you haven't given it a try, I would suggest giving it a try. You're going to see better pitching here in the Super Regional, so they won't be quite as high scoring, but you will get some shootouts from time to time. So there you have that. All right. Other things going on that are non-Major League Baseball, we're going to get into that in the very next segment coming up here in just a flash, but I want to get a couple of things in here. First of all, we don't have a matchup yet for the Stanley Cup, as Vegas and Dallas, they are still going. Dallas staved off elimination last night, and if you missed the game, Dallas won in overtime on their home ice. So what does that mean now? Okay, so they're down 3-1. They're heading to Vegas, and that game is Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and that'll be on ABC, it looks like. Monday, if there is a game six, Monday that game is at 8 o'clock on ESPN. And if for some reason we get all the way to a game seven, that game would be Wednesday at 9 o'clock at Vegas. So Vegas still has home ice. Dallas, to win this, Dallas still has to beat Vegas twice in their building, in Vegas' building. Dallas only has one more game at home, which is game six. That being said, home ice has never mattered one damn bit in hockey. It really doesn't, because it's such a fast moving sport. I have never seen home ice being like a tremendous advantage. It's cool to watch. Sometimes you'll get some of these home ices when the fans are into it and they're waving their towels, and it's really neat to watch as a fan from home. But it doesn't affect the play on the ice. Not so much in football, not so much in, you know, even I think baseball, with the dimensions in different parks, that has a big factor. Not to mention the fact I still think there are times that guys feel the pressure in front of the crowds in baseball. Basketball, I think the reason why that tends to have a home court advantage, some teams don't have home court advantage. Some teams just don't play that much better at home or whatnot. But the ones that I've seen over the years, I really think that has to do with they're comfortable in their surroundings, their rim. If you ever played competitive basketball, which I did very shortly when I was much, much younger. But drawing off of that memory from a long, long time ago, I can tell you that when we played on courts, in home courts, as opposed to on the road, and you can even say this, if you're playing pickup games, in we used to travel around to play other teams on their court as opposed to our court. This has nothing to do with the fans, but it really came down to we liked certain rims better. We liked certain boards better. And it gets into your head, and if you feel comfortable, you tend to play better. By the way, the Reds are opening it up on Justin Steele at 6-0 in Chicago. Steele has pitched really well at home, too. This is a big surprise. And Hunter Green has struggled a bit, and he is, now it's still early, but he's pitching lights out. All right, the next thing up on the docket is, of course, the NBA. All of a sudden, we got ourselves a series. Haven't really talked a lot of NBA this past week or so because both series have been absolute snore fests. Lakers got swept. The thing that the NBA never wanted, which was the Lakers and Celtics getting swept after getting them so close to the finals, because obviously that's where the big fan bases are. We almost got that. Lakers got swept, although they played competitive games. One thing you say about that sweep by the Lakers, you never saw them give up, and I felt like that they were a lot closer to beating Denver than what the series read, because if you watch the scoreboard, all those games were really competitive basketball games. But the Boston Celtics, if you missed it, last night, they went out and they beat the brakes off of Miami. Miami made it closer in the end in the fourth quarter where they lost by 13. It was not that close. It was an 18-point game going into the fourth. It never really felt like it was a competitive basketball game in the fourth. For that matter, around halftime. Around halftime, you felt like, this game's pretty much over. At halftime, Miami was down, 61-44. And then the Celtics outscored them by 1 point in the third, just kind of treading water. And then fourth quarter hit. Once they got about 4 or 5 minutes left, they started really putting on cruise control. Miami hit a couple of shots to make the score look better. But it didn't cover a spread. And they fell by the wayside, 110-97. So you look at that game, and you look at Game 5 in Miami, where the Celtics put up 116-99. So pretty similar scores, right? And the big thing in that one was the Celtics dominated the third quarter of that one. They outscored Miami by 15, and that was essentially what they lost by. In this game last night, Celtics came out smoking hot in the first quarter. They were 35-20 at the end of the first, and that was pretty much all she wrote. After that, Celtics just kind of kept it on cruise control, matched them bucket for bucket, and the game was over. So now they head back to Miami. That game is Saturday night. It is 8:30. That game is going to be on TNT. We've got ourselves a series, my friend, because if I told you that this went back and forth, and it was 3-2 Miami, you'd be saying to yourself, well, they better win Saturday because you don't want to go back to Boston for a Game 7, right? Well, that's where we're at regardless. And so this is going to be a very competitive, closely contested game, I think. All I can say is Miami better not let Boston win. Because I would be shocked if Boston won on Saturday and lost the series. I think if they win on Saturday, you're almost going to see a defeatist attitude from Miami. Miami better come out ready to punch and swing, because Saturday night, Celtics, Heat, they better hope Tatum doesn't come out and start draining it, because that's going to be a problem. Tatum had 21 last night, but he got a lot of them early, and then he kind of put it on cruise control. And the Heat are now dealing with injuries, and they're coming down the stretch, and you're starting to see the Celtic team that all along was the number two seed in the East for a reason, and now here they are. ready to take over the series if Miami lets them. So right now, Boston's actually favored that game. It's 2.5-point spread. Believe that? 2.5-point spread in Miami in a must-win for the Heat. And for folks who don't follow a lot of NBA, no, it has never happened. In the history of the NBA, a team up 3-0 at any point in time in the playoffs, a team up 3-0 has never came back and won 4 straight. The only team to ever do it in Major League Baseball was also from Boston, the Boston Red Sox. So that's where we are sitting at now. And, I mean, wow. Unbelievable. Okay, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Braves baseball. It's time to get into that. We got a big, big series coming up. And then Tones and Joey coming up the top of the hour with the WWE. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country today. Braves Country HD is coming your way live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on The Key. We're talking Major League Baseball, all the college spring sports, and the majors all spring and summer long. So keep up with your Atlanta Braves weekdays live 3 to 5 on Braves Country HD. And make sure to catch our play-by-play Braves Country Baseball all summer long. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and 2 bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
You're in Braves Country.
All right, Braves Country. Get it. Went out there and got that big W last night. You gotta love that. The Atlanta Braves went out there and took care of the Philadelphia Phillies in game 1 of a 4-game series, not your traditional 3-game series. So I figure what we'll do here on a Friday is we'll go over all the pitching matchups we're looking at this weekend and kind of get you set for tonight's action. We're going to have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves as 7:20 first pitch, and we'll be giving you tonight's game, and then tomorrow's game is a 4:10. It's an early pitch, 4:10 Eastern. So we'll come on about 3:30 for a pregame and kind of react to whatever happens tonight, and then, of course, looking forward to tomorrow. Now, as far as tonight's pitch-up matchup, I'm expecting a fairly high-scoring game. I mean, if you look at these two pitchers that are expected to be on the mound tonight, Taijuan Walker has a 5.79 ERA. I mean, this is a guy that they went out and signed to a pretty healthy free agent deal. And when the deal went down, if you were listening to the show back then, you'll remember me saying, there's a reason why the New York Mets did not make a play for him. There's a very good reason for it. They'd seen enough. He goes through these peaks and valleys, and there are times where Taijuan Walker looks really good. But he tends to run out of gas at the end of the year. That's number one. Number two, he ends up being very, very inconsistent. He's a fly ball pitcher, and that does not play well in today's game. Not to mention, what the hell was Philadelphia thinking? Signing a fly ball pitcher in that stadium. But anyways, that's what they did. I think they got drawn to his strikeout ability. He does have 42 strikeouts through 46 innings. 45 hits allowed. And so when you're looking at this ERA of 5.79, a whip of 1.44, there's one common denominator that goes on when Taijuan Walker's on the mound. Whether he is able to pitch out of the danger or not, there's usually ducks on the pond. And that's a lot to navigate through. And look, unless he goes out there and channels his inner Cy Young tonight, I expect the same kind of thing going on tonight where Braves are going to be able to get on base and it's just going to come up, do they knock him in? So it's a fairly even matchup with the youngster Schuster going to the mound. We know he's been up and down, but that's what you expect from a rookie. The one thing that I'll say for him over Dylan Dodd is that he tends to keep the ball on the ground. We know that he had the one bad outing, but all in all, he tends to keep the ball on the ground. He has a slightly higher strikeout rate than what Dodd has, but he does walk a lot. And that's going to be the key tonight, is keeping the free passes to a very, very minimum. Because the last thing you want with this Philadelphia lineup is for them to go out there and get free base after free base after free base. And then the next thing you know, someone goes out there and smacks a three-run home run. They put a bullet in the gap and two runs come in. Those can jump on you really, really quickly. So that's what I'm focusing on tonight with the pitching matchup is I think both guys are probably going to put up numbers where you're going to see traffic on the base paths. Who can come through? Who can knock them through? And look, Acuna really hasn't done anything the last few nights. And baseball, we know, is the hardest sport there is. Hardest thing to do in all sports is to hit a baseball. You're hitting a round object with a round object. It's coming at you, and you don't know where it's going or the speed. So you expect guys from time to time to kind of scuffle their feet a little bit and stub their toe. I'm expecting a big weekend from Ronald Acuna Jr. And this is the type of pitcher that Acuna can get after. Now, the one thing I'll say for Acuna, and I've noticed this over the last couple of years, and I'm sure there's conversations, but I don't know how they go, but I would like to know what his theory is and why he thinks it's beneficial to practically always, and I mean always, he did it last night, swing at the first damn pitch of the game. The very first pitch. Do you not want to see what a guy's got? And I get it. If you get a pitch right in a certain spot, there's nothing wrong with swinging at the first pitch. I get that part. But he's constantly swinging at the very first pitch of the game. And then what happens is that he feels obligated to take a pitch the next time he comes up. The pitcher knows that. Happened last night. Now, he ended up getting a base hit on the second at bat, but the one that he put into the gap that was on the outer part of the plate that he drove into the right center field gap, the pitch before that, the first pitch, it was a hanging slider. And it is a pitch that 99 times out of 100, Acuna swings at. But I take it that he did not swing at that because he doesn't want to be two pitches, two outs into the ballgame. And I get that once you've done it the first time. But then, once again, you're hamstringing yourself. I think he got this mentality from when he played with Freddie Freeman. You always saw Freddie Freeman trying to ambush the first pitch. But the difference between Freeman at that stage of his career and Acuna is that Freeman was a chiseled veteran. And grizzled veteran, excuse me. And he could usually go up there with a pretty good game plan going into the first pitch. And if he saw specifically what he was looking for, then, or what he thought he was saying, then you would see him swing. But when you're dealing with Acuña and you're dealing with a kid that's still learning the game, I don't know. I would like to see every once in a while him go up there and work a count to start the game. I'm not saying to go up there every time and take two strikes off the jump. The next thing you know, you're flailing. You're behind in the count to start the game. I'm not saying that. But I see it time and time and time again. He swings at the very first pitch. And a lot of times, it's a ground ball to the left-hand side of the infield. And it might even be a hard hit, but usually the defense is playing over there because they know what's going at, what's about to happen. So anyways, happy Memorial Day weekend as we get set for this Braves-Phillies matchup. So tonight, you see the Taijuan Walker matchup versus Jared Schuster. Like I said, I suspect we're going to have a lot of runners on the base paths and probably a high-scoring game, but it really comes down to when you get a guy in scoring position, do you get him in? And this is a type of game that I think, look, usually I'm all for get him on, get him over, get him in. That type of baseball, right? Usually adds up, and by the end of the night, you've won the game 4-2. But in a game like this, where Schuster's probably going to give up some runs. Now, he looked great against Seattle, but Seattle's offense has always been up and down. He's going up against a much more formidable offense in Philadelphia. But in a game like this, we're going to need some crooked numbers to win the game. Now, the one thing going for Schuster, Philly ranks in the bottom third of baseball against left-handed starting pitching. So you like the numbers advantage there, but he better be careful going around some of the right-handed sluggers that they have that feast on the right on the left-handed pitching. And Castellanos is the number one guy that comes along with JT Realmuto. JT Realmuto, though he still has power, really tends to be more of a guy that tries to hit it in the gap and drive him in. So those are the two guys that I'm concerned about tonight. As far as with Taijuan Walker on the mound, I mean, this is a pitcher with the perfect opportunity for Matt Olson to take 1 yard. Right-handed, power pitching guy who throws a lot of fastballs and gives up a lot of fly balls. This is one that Olson should be able to get a hold of one. And Riley's swinging the bat so well here the last few days. Look out for him. And I do expect Acuña to go out there this entire weekend. I expect Acuña to go out and put on a show. Now, when you look at tomorrow's game, as you scroll down your schedule, tomorrow's game is an interesting one because you're going to have Zach Wheeler going up against Charlie Morton. And Wheeler is not pitching the way he has in years past. He's got a much higher ERA than normal, a 4.11 ERA. He's giving up a lot more base hits, which is obviously leading to the runs. He's given up 56 hits in 57 innings. And then 64 strikeouts over 57 innings. So his strikeout rate's still pretty much the same. It's a touch low, but it's pretty much there. But he's given up a lot of hard contact base hits. He's still only given up 4 home runs, so that's not... You don't hate that if you're Philadelphia, especially considering where he calls home. That is a home run here at Park. So 4 home runs. He normally pitches really well against Atlanta. And that's going to be a tough one. We'll dive more into it in the pregame on Saturday, but that's going to be a tough one. And Charlie Morton's going to have to go out there and pitch a gem. Now, Charlie Morton's numbers right now are actually better than Wheeler. The biggest difference, the negative I would say, is he's got a higher walk rate. He's also given up more hits per inning. But his strikeout rate is almost right there with Wheeler. And he's given up a couple more home runs, and they're only five innings apart. But typically when Charlie Morton gives up a home run, the one thing you can say for Charlie, when he gives up a home run, it's normally not of the two-run, three-run variety. It's usually a solo shot. But that's gonna be a tough one, because the Braves hit left-handed pitching much better, especially because Zach Wheeler's a ground ball pitcher. He throws a heavy, heavy pitch. And with the Phillies and the way they hit right-handed pitching, that's going to be the toughest matchup, I think. I felt really good about the fact that we got the W last night against Nola, because normally Nola gives us fits. And especially with Dodd on the mound, who really didn't pitch that great. But he didn't pitch that bad, honestly. For a rookie spot start, it wasn't terrible. You'll take that 9 times out of 10. The offense showed up, and that's what really saved us. But all in all, you can't kill Dodd for what he for what he gave us last night. I thought he was pretty darn good. I don't expect the moon and stars when these rookies come out there. So that's going to be the matchup on Saturday afternoon. Remember something too, when you're talking about, depending on what the weather is going to be like, if it's sunny and whatnot, when you talk about a late pitch on Sunday afternoon, those middle innings at Truist Park, usually the shadow's casting over, and you're dealing with, it's not that long of a wait, but 2 innings, sometimes as long as 3 with the new pitch clock, of very difficult conditions to be able to hit the baseball, pick up the baseball, because of the shadows that are casted. And Wheeler can use that to his advantage, but so can Charlie Morton with that curveball. So there you have that. And then you look at Sunday's game. Philly has yet to announce a starter. They may go with a bullpen game. Right now, we've got Spencer Strider being projected on the mound. So, if you look at who has pitched for Philadelphia, Wednesday's game, was Ranger Suarez. So he's obviously not in play. He went 5 innings. He has not pitched well, by the way. 5 innings, 5 earned runs. I mean, this kid, I think he's only had 2, maybe 3 starts. He's got a 9.82 ERA. So we don't get a chance to face him, which is disappointing, because Suarez is not pitching well now, and the Braves feast on left-handers. If you go back, as Philly has not had a day off, if you go back to what went down on the Tuesday game, which would fast forward 5 days later, it was a bullpen game. Strom came out and started. And though Strom, he's looked upon as a guy that they want to go the distance, but a lot of times he doesn't make it past 2 or 3 innings. So if you look at Strom's, his game log from this year, he's averaged about 2 innings an outing. He did go as deep as 3 in early May. Now, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the year, they were asking him to go 4, 5. Got knocked out in 2 2/3 after giving up three runs. But then he went five and a third, gave up a total of three runs in those almost 11 innings. But then you look at what has transpired since then. So he got blown up in early May. Los Angeles, they put up four runs on him in three and a third. You okay? Now, I'm just going off the assumption that he may be the guy. So you go, okay. But what about what happened the next couple of games? They didn't run him out there very long. They ran him about two innings. He didn't give up any runs, earned or otherwise, but he only went two innings against the Red Sox. Once again, only went one inning against Colorado. Once again, only was asked to go two and a third against San Fran. One versus Chicago. So, his last outing, two innings, two earned runs. So, what it's looking like to me is that he might be one of those guys, and sometimes this happens much more recent in the modern day game of baseball than what you had, you know, just even 10 years ago. But there are teams that come across and they say, you know what, this guy's stuff, once you see it the second time through the lineup, it's no good. So we got to get him out. So they won't even try it. So it looks like to me for the past month, they've been working him as a bullpen guy, an opener, sometimes a piggyback. So we'll see how they go. Now, what they did the other day on Tuesday against Arizona, they had him open, and then in the middle innings, it was a gentleman by the name of Dylan Covey, who has a 3 ERA through nine innings of work. He pitched four against Minnesota, five against Arizona. He came in Arizona in the third inning, and again Minnesota. They pull him up. In the Minnesota game, same situation. Now, this is when he was with the Dodgers, so I'm thinking he got DFA'd. But it was the same situation. He came in and piggybacked it and gave four innings for the Dodgers. So what I'm looking at here is most likely it's a bullpen type of game. They might announce Strom and then end up going to the bullpen. But it's going to be Spencer Strider for Atlanta. And so it's a Sunday night game. We expect to win that damn game. I do. Bullpen game of Philadelphia versus Spencer Strider. Let's go. I feel like tomorrow night's game is a real crapshoot between Wheeler and Charlie. With it being at home, yeah, I like our chances. But still, Wheeler has pitched well against us more than one time. So I think tonight's game is very important. I think it could be a swing. It could be the difference between splitting the series and winning three out of four. We already got the first win, so you love that. And I believe we're going to win the game on Sunday night, assuming everything stays the same. So if you take that into consideration, we win Strider's start. We won last night. And tomorrow night, it's an iffy one. And when I say iffy, when you consider the fact of having to brush your bullpen out there, also back to back to back to back to back, eventually there's going to be a day where they're going to go get him, Tompkins, and everyone's going to be out of their mind mad. But the average fan doesn't understand. They are trying to monitor these guys' innings and pitches, not just throughout the entire year, week to week, day to day. So there are guys, without them announcing it, that are not available. I see the questions all the time, but like, why didn't we use so-and-so? We could have used so-and-so in this matchup. Well, they talked to Snicker after the game, and the first thing that when something like that is asked, and then he'll come out and say, he wasn't available tonight. I say, oh, is there something wrong with him? Nope. just wasn't available tonight. We made the decision before the game started that unless we were just rushed into it and were forced to do it, we were not going to put pitcher A or pitcher B out there. So you look at it, if these are close games, we've already used Iglesias. We've used, last night we used Anderson. We use these guys in the Dodger series. There's going to be a night here where, I'm not saying you punt it, but you're hoping for a comfortable win because you're going to be asking other guys than Iglesias to shut it down. So tonight is a very important swing game. I do think Atlanta gets him because I really liked what I saw from Schuster last night. I was impressed. Sunday versus Seattle. I was impressed. He was pulling the string on that slider. That thing was so pretty to watch. I'm hoping he's even remotely close to that tonight. And if he is, he'll be able to keep this Philly bats off balance, and we should be able to get some runs up on the board. Hopefully get a very comfortable lead, and then maybe we don't have to use the back of our bullpen tonight. Maybe we can give them the night off and get ready for a tough game on Saturday. So that's what I'm hoping for, is that our bats get going. I think we're going to score runs. I'm going to say Atlanta wins this one, and I'm optimistic with Schuster this time around. So give me Atlanta in a comfortable win. I'll say 8-3. 8-3. We go out there and put the runs on them. And we get the first two of the series. And all that could possibly mean for us is that then you're playing with house money. You just need to win one of the next two to win the series. And you've at least split it, which means you're not going to lose any ground. We go into tonight's game 8 in front of Philly, 5.5 in front of the Mets. And remember, the Mets, though it's not a good team, they're out in Colorado this weekend. And that can do wonders to your bullpen. They might really take a beating out there. I'm hoping win, lose, or draw, no matter what the Mets' record is out there, I'm hoping those are shootouts. I want to be looking at the scoreboard and seeing Mets and Rockies all weekend long, 10-11 in the sixth inning, just grinding their bullpen, because that'll take a toll on them. We see them in about a week and a half. All right. Time to get set for game number 2, Braves-Phillies, lineups, national anthem, all that good stuff on the way. Time to focus on the task at hand, Braves country. Let's get game number 2 and get this series rolling into the weekend. A happy Memorial Day weekend. Get your game face on.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Hey, hey!
listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.